In a world increasingly concerned with external threats, Stephen Porges's groundbreaking work, The Polyvagal Theory, offers a radical perspective. Our greatest challenge isn't navigating danger, but finding safety. This revolutionary framework has transformed trauma treatment worldwide, with practitioners from Bessel van der Kolk to Peter Levine embracing its insights. What began as technical research papers unexpectedly became a clinical sensation, offering trauma survivors the first neurobiological explanation for their seemingly contradictory experiences. The theory explains why bodies stuck in defensive states struggle to return to safety, and provides a roadmap for recovery that resonates deeply with clinicians and patients alike. As Oprah Winfrey noted in a 2021 interview, "Understanding polyvagal theory changed my perspective on every relationship in my life." With over 250,000 copies sold and translations in 15 languages, Porges's work has quietly revolutionized our understanding of human connection, trauma, and healing. Western culture has long privileged thinking over feeling, following Descartes' famous dictum, "I think, therefore I am." This corticocentric bias has shaped our educational systems, parenting approaches, and clinical models, all emphasizing cognitive control over bodily sensations. But what if Descartes had instead proclaimed, "I feel myself, therefore I am"? How might our understanding of human experience differ? When I began studying psychophysiology in the 1960s, investigating bodily feelings wasn't considered legitimate scientific inquiry. The field was dominated by behaviorism and the emerging cognitive revolution, neither acknowledging physiological states as mediators of behavior and psychological processes. My early research quantifying heart rate variability revealed fascinating connections to attention, cognitive performance, and resilience, leading me to investigate the neural pathways responsible for these patterns. Drawing from early 20th century research, I developed methods to measure respiratory sinus arrhythmia, rhythmic variations in heart rate linked to breathing, as an accurate index of vagal influence on the heart. This represented a significant shift from correlative approaches to a neurophysiologically informed model for monitoring autonomic regulation. Rather than viewing behavior through the traditional stimulus-response lens, I proposed reintroducing the organism's physiological state as a critical intervening variable. This quest for understanding individual differences in behavior led to recognizing autonomic state as the neural platform underpinning behavior and psychological experiences, including our sense of safety. Rather than directly causing behavior, these states influence the probability and possibility of specific behaviors and feelings emerging. Safety, it turns out, is experienced differently through bodily responses versus cognitive evaluations. Our body's wisdom operates outside conscious awareness, through what I call neuroception, the neural process evaluating environmental risk without our awareness. Like a polygraph, our bodies respond to challenges, with identical environmental features triggering comfort in some, but fear in others. The evolution from reptiles to mammals created a nervous system capable of identifying safety, especially regarding which conspecifics were safe for proximity. This adaptation required neural mechanisms to deactivate defensive strategies. Mammals need to identify safety for several biological imperatives: maternal care at birth, social interdependence for survival, and performing vital functions like reproduction and sleep. The neural circuits supporting social behavior and emotional regulation are only accessible when the environment is deemed safe, and these circuits are crucial for health, growth, and restoration. The polyvagal theory emerged from what I call the vagal paradox, a scientific puzzle that challenged conventional understanding of the autonomic nervous system. While studying newborns in intensive care units, I observed that high vagal activity, measured through respiratory sinus arrhythmia, predicted positive clinical outcomes, including better growth, more stable heart rates, and enhanced social engagement. Yet a neonatologist colleague pointedly reminded me that vagal activity can also cause life-threatening bradycardia and apnea in infants. This presented a fundamental contradiction. How could the same nerve be both protective and potentially lethal? This paradox drove me to extensively investigate evolutionary neurobiology, leading to the discovery that humans have two distinct vagal systems with different evolutionary origins and functions. The first system, protective and uniquely mammalian, promotes health, growth, and social connection. The second, more ancient system, can become lethal when activated, triggering immobilization responses similar to those seen in reptiles. This presented a fundamental contradiction. How could the same nerve be both protective and potentially lethal? This paradox drove me to extensively investigate evolutionary neurobiology, leading to the discovery that humans have two distinct vagal systems with different evolutionary origins and functions. The first system, protective and uniquely mammalian, promotes health, growth, and social connection. The second, more ancient system, can become lethal when activated, triggering immobilization responses similar to those seen in reptiles. Through detailed examination of neuroanatomy and comparative evolutionary biology, I identified that immobilization, bradycardia, and apnea are components of an ancient defense system that evolved in pre-mammalian vertebrates, while mammals developed additional sophisticated neural circuits supporting more adaptive social behaviors and emotional regulation. Traditional autonomic nervous system models present a simplistic binary opposition between parasympathetic, rest and digest, and sympathetic, fight or flight. Polyvagal theory fundamentally reframes this understanding as a hierarchical model with three distinct functional subsystems, each with specific evolutionary origins and adaptive purposes. 1. The unmyelinated vagal pathways regulating organs below the diaphragm, shared with reptiles, controlling basic metabolic functions and primitive defensive responses. 2. The myelinated vagal pathways regulating organs above the diaphragm, uniquely mammalian, supporting social engagement and emotional regulation. 3. The sympathetic nervous system, mobilizing resources for active defense and engagement. The unmyelinated pathways, our most primitive neural circuit, support basic homeostasis during periods of safety, but can trigger immobilization and metabolic shutdown when recruited for defense. The evolutionarily newer myelinated vagus, unique to mammals, connects with brainstem areas controlling facial muscles, middle ear muscles, and vocal expression, creating what I term the social engagement system, a sophisticated neural network that enables complex social behavior and emotional communication. This hierarchical organization follows phylogenetic principles where newer neural circuits inhibit older circuits, consistent with John Hewlings-Jackson's concept of dissolution in neurological function. When faced with environmental challenges, our autonomic regulation sequentially degrades to older circuits as an adaptive survival strategy. For example, under acute threat, the sophisticated social engagement system may yield to sympathetic activation, fight or flight, and under extreme danger, to primitive immobilization responses. These state shifts are typically involuntary, occurring reflexively in response to environmental cues of safety or danger, though we may be consciously aware of their physical manifestations, like increased heart rate, sweating, or the urge to freeze. Understanding this hierarchical organization has profound implications for treating trauma, anxiety, and other conditions involving autonomic dysregulation. Neuroception, distinct from perception, is the neural process that evaluates environmental risk without conscious awareness. While perception implies conscious detection and cognitive processing, neuroception operates reflexively, evaluating subtle environmental cues that trigger immediate shifts in autonomic states. This unconscious assessment system evolved as a crucial survival mechanism, operating continuously in the background of our daily experiences. Consider these illustrative examples. A woman faints during a turbulent airplane landing rather than panicking, demonstrating an immediate shutdown response. I experience claustrophobia during an MRI despite my cognitive willingness to undergo the procedure and understanding its safety. A child instinctively withdraws from certain adults while readily approaching others, without any prior interaction. These involuntary responses demonstrate how the same event can trigger different neuroception reactions in different people. The confined space triggered my mobilization response, while the unstable airplane triggered shutdown in the passenger, both beyond conscious control and rational understanding. Medical environments frequently trigger defense responses by removing familiar safety cues that our nervous system relies upon. Even routine procedures can activate threat responses. Dental chairs that restrict movement, imaging machines that create isolation, or medical restraints used during treatments. Forced physical restraint, even when necessary for medical procedures, can trigger trauma responses resembling PTSD, with lasting impacts on future medical experiences. Modern medical settings, despite technological advances, still remove critical safety features by taking away clothing, glasses, personal items, and predictability, leaving patients neurobiologically vulnerable. The sterile, unfamiliar environment, combined with the loss of personal autonomy, creates a perfect storm for activating defensive responses. Acoustic stimulation particularly influences neuroception through complex neural pathways. Low-frequency sounds often trigger defense responses, while modulated higher frequencies, like a mother's lullaby or friendly conversation, signal safety. Think of Prokofiev's Peter and the Wolf, friendly characters represented by violins and flutes, predators by lower frequencies. This musical illustration reflects deep biological programming. Medical environments like MRI produce massive low-frequency sounds that our nervous system interprets as predatory, shifting us toward defense states without conscious awareness. Even hospital ventilation systems and equipment hums can contribute to this unconscious threat detection. Our temporal cortex continuously evaluates biological movement patterns like facial expressions, vocal prosody, and body gestures to determine safety. This sophisticated system processes micro-expressions and subtle vocal variations in milliseconds, influencing our autonomic state before conscious awareness. People in defensive or dissociative states struggle to detect these safety cues, creating a self-reinforcing cycle of social disconnection. When our social engagement system is compromised, we gain heightened ability to detect predator-associated low-frequency sounds at the expense of processing human speech, an adaptive defensive posture where immediate safety is prioritized over social connection. This shift explains why trauma survivors often report difficulty reading social cues while maintaining hypervigilance to environmental threats. Social engagement serves as the crucial preamble to attachment, often missing in attachment literature. This intricate process involves multiple synchronized elements, precise vocalizations, attentive listening to voice intonation, nuanced facial expressions, meaningful gestures, and shared ingestive behaviors, like nursing for babies or sharing meals for adults. These behaviors work in concert to create what neuroscientists call biological synchrony, a harmonious state where two nervous systems become attuned to each other. Effective social engagement systematically minimizes psychological distance, which naturally leads to reduced physical distance, ultimately creating the neurobiological foundation for lasting social bonds. The social engagement system operates through two primary components, somatomotor and visceromotor. The somatomotor component involves special visceral efferent pathways that regulate muscles of the face and head, controlling everything from subtle eye movements to facial expressions and head turning. The visceromotor component, working through the myelinated supradiaphragmatic vagus, regulates vital organs above the diaphragm, particularly the heart and bronchi. This sophisticated heart-face connection coordinates complex behavioral sequences like sucking, swallowing, breathing, vocalizing. When this coordination is disrupted in early development, it often serves as an early warning sign of potential difficulties in social behavior and emotional regulation later in life. When individuals enter immobilization with fear states, they activate an evolutionarily ancient neural circuit that humans find particularly challenging to exit. This difficulty stems from how evolution has modified our nervous system. While the shutdown response was adaptive for our distant ancestors, modern humans struggle to transition smoothly back to states of safety characterized by spontaneous social engagement. People trapped in these defensive states often develop elaborate narratives to justify their mistrust and social withdrawal. Their nervous systems essentially become hypersensitive, detecting risk in objectively safe situations, creating a self-reinforcing loop of defensive behavior and psychological justification. From a polyvagal perspective, successful treatment requires first establishing environments where clients can experience genuine physiological safety. This is particularly challenging because the therapist may initially be perceived as a threat, requiring careful attention to both physical and psychological boundaries. Clients must be empowered to navigate these spaces at their own pace until their nervous system recognizes safety. When this shift occurs, spontaneous engagement behaviors naturally emerge, observable through changes in vocal prosody, facial expressiveness, and overall affect. Our reflexive reactions to social cues are deeply ingrained and remarkably resistant to conscious override. This is powerfully demonstrated in the reluctant therapist exercise, where participants become genuinely angry at therapists instructed to disengage, even while consciously knowing it's just role play. In therapeutic settings, couples with mismatched engagement resources often struggle significantly, particularly when one partner with trauma history instinctively averts their gaze or turns away during moments of stress. Modern society's tendency to attribute moral or intentional motivation to these behaviors often overlooks their fundamental role as automatic mechanisms for regulating physiological states. Traditional therapeutic models have assumed most psychiatric disorders stem from hyperarousal and sympathetic activation, but trauma survivors often experience immobilization and shutdown rather than mobilization. This immobilization defense system, shared with reptiles, represents a regression to a primitive adaptive response that helps mammals avoid detection by predators. The trauma community has embraced polyvagal theory because it validates these shutdown responses as adaptive survival mechanisms rather than pathologies. The challenge is that while these states save the person, they create ongoing difficulties as the individual struggles to regain behavioral flexibility and social engagement capacity. Helping clients celebrate their body's successful survival response can be healing by demystifying their reactions. When psychologically injured in relationships, people protect themselves by not trusting others, downregulating their social engagement system. While trauma survivors may cognitively desire relationships, their bodies resist closeness. I emphasize helping survivors understand that their bodily responses weren't wrong, but protective immobilization and dissociation may have minimized physical injury and suffering by not fighting back, potentially preventing additional aggression. I recall a powerful example of a woman who felt vindicated after learning about polyvagal theory. Realizing her immobilization during assault was heroic rather than shameful. Our society often wrongly judges those who don't fight back when these reflexive responses are actually adaptive survival mechanisms. Dissociation links to the phylogenetically old vagal circuit that enables biobehavioral shutdown. When mammals shut down, reduced oxygenated blood to the brain compromises cognitive function, decision-making, and situational awareness. The critical questions are, after trauma, does the nervous system more readily enter dissociative states? How can we reverse this tendency? I compare trauma reactions to single-trial learning like taste aversion in chemotherapy patients, where food eaten before treatment becomes nauseating afterward. In single-trial trauma reactions, a person who was typical before an event suddenly can't be in public places, develops lower gut issues, becomes hypersensitive to low-frequency sounds, and may develop symptoms like fibromyalgia and unstable blood pressure. These symptoms provide clues about underlying mechanisms, as many are mediated through the old unmyelinated subdiaphragmatic vagus. Creating safe environments is fundamental for effective treatment of both autism and trauma. Clinicians must carefully engineer therapeutic spaces by eliminating low-frequency sounds like humming fluorescent lights or distant traffic noise that can trigger primitive predator detection systems in the brain. The use of prosodic voices, those with melodic, rhythmic qualities and varied intonation patterns, is crucial, as these vocal characteristics signal safety to our nervous system far more effectively than volume alone. Understanding neuroception, our unconscious assessment of environmental safety, enables therapists to systematically modify environments to help clients transition from defensive states to calmer ones where genuine social engagement becomes possible. The therapeutic goal shifts from attempting to cure conditions to reducing symptoms by helping clients access physiological states conducive to social behavior and healing. Healthcare environments, particularly hospitals, require dedicated, safe zones specifically designed to trigger neuroception of safety rather than threat. These spaces should incorporate soft lighting, comfortable seating, nature sounds, and minimal medical equipment visibility. For trauma patients, therapists must reframe their defensive responses as valuable survival adaptations rather than pathologies, celebrating how their body's responses enabled their survival instead of fostering guilt about these reactions. Mindfulness practices can only be effective when participants feel genuinely safe. Without this foundation of safety, people remain stuck in evaluative and defensive states, unable to access the neural circuits necessary for creativity, learning, and social connection. When working with trauma survivors, therapists must develop extraordinary sensitivity to subtle signs of client disengagement or overwhelm. Key indicators include changes in breathing patterns, muscle tension, vocal quality, and eye contact. Rather than pushing clients when they show signs of losing resilience, skilled therapists recognize these boundaries and adjust their approach accordingly. Acoustic stimulation offers a powerful tool for activating the social engagement system without requiring potentially threatening face-to-face interaction. The technique of extending vocal phrases, adding more words before taking a breath, creates a physiological calming effect through the vagus nerve's influence on heart rate during exhalation. This same nerve pathway simultaneously affects the larynx and pharynx, naturally making the voice more melodic and soothing. Specific techniques include speaking in longer phrases, using gentle rising and falling intonation patterns, and maintaining a steady, rhythmic pace. The Listening Project Protocol, now called the Safe and Sound Protocol, represents a practical application of polyvagal theory, using carefully filtered prosodic vocalizations to engage middle ear muscles. This intervention helps the auditory system better extract human voice from background noise, facilitating a physiological state shift that enables more spontaneous social behavior. Research involving over 200 children with autism has demonstrated significant improvements across multiple domains. Reduced auditory hypersensitivities, enhanced auditory processing capabilities, increased spontaneous social engagement, and improved vagal regulation of bodily systems. The calming effect of certain voices, exemplified by singer Johnny Mathis, demonstrates how specific prosodic features can trigger neural circuits that promote feelings of safety and social connection. His melodic voice, characterized by smooth frequency modulation within the human vocal range, mirrors the soothing qualities of a mother's lullaby. This biological preference for prosodic voices with varied intonation patterns represents an evolutionary adaptation. Our nervous system is literally waiting for Johnny Mathis to signal safety and turn off our defensive responses. Play represents a crucial neural exercise that recruits defensive systems alongside social engagement, creating a unique state of mobilization without harm. Face-to-face interaction defines mammalian play, with continuous cues of safety communicated through facial expressions, vocalizations, and body language. These social signals include relaxed facial muscles, playful tones, and reciprocal gestures that indicate friendly intent. Children with state regulation problems often miss these subtle social cues, unintentionally hurting playmates because they cannot accurately read or respond to safety signals. Rather than merely developing fighting skills, play's primary adaptive function is developing state regulation, moving seamlessly through the three polyvagal states: social engagement, mobilization, immobilization. This neural exercise builds resilience by creating repeated opportunities to practice transitioning between states in a safe context. Through play, mammals learn to modulate their arousal levels, shifting from high energy to calm states while maintaining social connection. This flexibility enables mammals to immobilize without fear while near others, a crucial capacity for social bonding and emotional regulation. Our modern culture often confuses true play with electronic games, lacking physical mobilization and genuine face-to-face interaction, or solitary exercise, lacking the critical social engagement component that defines mammalian play. The newer mammalian social engagement system can modify our two defensive circuits when we feel safe, creating a unique neural state that supports healthy development. This allows us to mobilize without being in fight-or-flight mode. Instead of fighting or fleeing, we can move and play with positive excitement and joy. Play uses the social engagement system to signal non-threatening intent through face-to-face contact, including subtle micro-expressions, eye contact, and prosodic vocalizations. Similarly, the immobilization circuit can be co-opted for positive experiences like cuddling or intimacy, creating immobilization without fear through oxytocin's influence on the brainstem's dorsal vagal nucleus. This positive immobilization differs dramatically from the freeze response associated with threat. The goal of therapy is enabling clients to experience greater flexibility by accessing neural circuits that can dampen defense in appropriate settings while utilizing phylogenetically older circuits for positive outcomes. This involves helping clients recognize and strengthen their capacity to shift between states, identify safety cues in their environment, and gradually expand their window of tolerance for both activation and calming. Through carefully structured therapeutic play and social engagement exercises, clients can develop greater neural flexibility and emotional resilience. This enhanced state regulation ability allows them to engage more fully in relationships and respond more adaptively to life's challenges. Polyvagal theory shows that feeling safe depends on autonomic state, with safety cues helping calm our nervous system. This calming promotes trusting relationships that further co-regulate behavioral and physiological states, creating a circle of regulation supporting mental and physical health. When mobilized by sympathetic activation, we're tuned for defense rather than safety. When regulated by ventral vagal pathways, our social engagement system coordinates safety cues through voice and facial expression, down-regulating defense in ourselves and others. Our biological imperative is to connect and co-regulate with others, experienced as a quest for safety achievable only through successful social relationships. Simple shifts in posture can dramatically change our neurophysiological state and interaction with the world. Reclining positions that take pressure off the lumbar region trigger relaxation circuits, making us lethargic but comfortable. Upright postures recruit different neural circuits, making us alert, engaged, and motivated. This shift represents a change from regulating smooth muscles of our viscera, conservation mode, to recruiting striated muscles, engagement mode. Behavioral pathologies can be reframed as behaviors that might have been adaptive in one setting but are now elicited in contexts where they're maladaptive. For example, trauma survivors who dissociate are expressing reactions that would be adaptive during trauma but inappropriate in social settings. By removing moral labels and judgment from these behaviors, we recognize they're neither good nor bad, just contextually inappropriate. the future of trauma treatment will move away from pharmaceuticals for chronic treatment, though they may remain useful for acute reactions. This shift will be challenging given medicine's heavy pharmaceutical orientation. A greater understanding of neurofeedback loops is needed, not just body-brain connections, but also people-to-people regulation. Co-regulation through social engagement is a biological imperative for humans, potentially expanding treatment to include working with animals like dogs and horses to facilitate engagement. The challenge remains how to get the nervous system to spontaneously engage with others, which is essential for health. Our quest for safety isn't just about survival, it's about creating the conditions where we can thrive through connection, where our nervous systems can move fluidly between states of engagement, mobilization, and rest, all while maintaining access to our full human capacity for creativity, compassion, and joy.